All right, we appreciate you being here. It is a good day. Father's Day, we usually hear sermons on Father's Day, and a lot of times it's bad press. Sometimes it's not encouraging. Sometimes we kind of like to beat our fathers up. On Mother's Day, we talk about how sweet and wonderful and wonderful. Kind they are. You know, we talk about all the great things that mothers are, and then we come to Father's Day, and we kind of say, well, you guys got to live it up. You guys got to hit this mark. You guys need to do better. But today, I decided, instead of just beating up the fathers, I'm going to beat all of you up. All right? After last week's sermon and the response about aging out, people weren't too happy. They said it was depressing. It was sad. But how many know the Bible tells the truth? And I'm blaming the Bible for my sermon because that's where I got it from. And so if you have any problem with it, take it up with Solomon. When you get to heaven, you can tell him about it, all right? All right. You know, as kids growing up, you heard a nursery rhyme that says, "What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice." And it is true until they hit puberty. And then it's get in, buckle up, shut up, and hang on. All right? That's what happens at puberty. That sweetness is gone, and you kind of pull your hair out and wonder whatever happens. But it also goes on and says, "What are little boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dog tails." Anybody know what a snip is? I didn't know what a snip was. I had to look it up. And so a snip is a small slippery ill. So, gentlemen, we are in the hole before we even begin. All right? But the truth is we don't have to stay there. So today I'm going to talk about what it takes to be a man, to man up. And so, again, this is not just talking to the men, but it's talking to every believer in Jesus Christ. It's talking about every church member. And so we already read this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Be on your guard, stand true to what you believe, be courageous, be strong, and everything you do must be done with love. So each sentence there, even though they're short, is a point. And so be glad I didn't take every word and make it a point. So we only have five here today. So we'll have you out of here before one so we can have our picnic. Amen? All right. Father, we just praise you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of Paul that encourages us. We know that the Corinthian church had a little bit of trouble within their midst. There was a lot of worldliness going on. But it was also a very spiritual church. And so Paul is kind of correcting him there. This is the last chapter in his letter that he is writing. And he is encouraging them to step it up, to be what they're called to be. And today, Father, we need to be a church that needs to step it up in today's world. Father, we see that the world's influences have affected the church instead of the church influencing the world. And so, Father, we want to be a different kind of a church. We want to be a church that is truly the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And Father, we want to see results for the fruit of our labors. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that this sermon will come alive in our hearts and our minds. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're going to go jump right in here. And it says, be on guard, which means to watch out, to be alert, to be aware. And so what are some of the things we need to be aware of? We need to be aware of temptation. How many know what it means to be tempted? We should. As believers today, we know what it means to be tempted. In fact, we sometimes recognize it and still go on to sin. And so we recognize temptation, we recognize sin. But how many know we're supposed to be also on guard because Jesus is coming back? How many know that? We are to be alert. We need to be sober, as the Bible says. We need to be ready for the coming of our Lord. But Peter says this in chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so he is interested in devouring you here today. The Corinthian church was giving the enemy a lot of opportunities to move among them. And Paul is warning them, you need to be vigilant. You need to be alert. And so we too today must be vigilant at all times. We went to work for Karen's grandparents, and we were in New Mexico in a place called Socorro. And it means help. So if you live in a town named Help, how many know you're in a very bad place? All right? And so we lived in Socorro, and we were only given so much money, and I had to have jobs on the side. And so for a temp job, I had a night watchman job, and it was at a construction site. They were clearing the land because there was mercury in the ground, and so they had to, if you're familiar with it, they have to remove it from the soil. And so it's a fenced-off area. So if you're driving down the highway someday and you see a fenced-off area in the middle of nowhere, it's probably because it was polluted or something and they had to remove something from the soil. So my job was to watch the equipment at night. It was a 12-hour shift. I would go there at dark, get home at dark, and it was kind of in the wintertime. And so you know what a night watchman does? He watches, right? He's on guard. And so, you know, every so often we had a trailer there that we were allowed to stay in. And so every so often we were supposed to walk around and kind of check to make sure nothing was happening. Remember, this is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So one night I'm sitting in the trailer and the door flies open and there's a guy standing there. The night watchman wasn't doing a very good job. And I'm glad I didn't need another pair of underwear because I wasn't expecting this guy to show up. The night watchman kind of failed guard. After that, I kind of shortened my little trips around the yard to make sure nobody else would sneak up on me. So we are to be on guard. If you have diabetes or know somebody has diabetes, how many know you have to be on guard? You need to be alert. You need to be very vigilant in keeping their sugar. When Karen's father lived with us, five shots a day, the morning, the night, and each meal. And so we had to regulate. We had to keep our eyes on it. And we had to be diligent. We had to be on guard. We needed to beware at all times. And so we're looking at this scripture here today, and it's that kind of aspect that we need to be tentative. We need to be alert at all times because we never know when the enemy is going to come and do something or tempt us. We need to be ready. And so there are some things that we need to take care of right away. And what would Barney Fife say? What would Barney Fife say? I preached a sermon on it. Nip it in the bud, all right? So that's why we're on guard, because when temptation comes our way, when things come our way, what do we need to do? We need to take care of business. We need to be on guard. And that's what he was telling the Corinthian church. He said, you need to be on your guard because you're being tempted and you're sinning. You need to step it up here. And so you need to be on guard. So that's the first thing he said, be on guard. The second thing he said, stand true to what you believe. This word stand means to stand fast. It means stand still. It means unmovable, stand firm, persevere. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14 says this. And you're familiar with this scripture. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, right? What's it say? You may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And then verse 14, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So be ready, church. You will only make a stand if you're convinced of the truth. And so it says in this scripture, in Ephesians chapter 6, there's the word stand. And what are we supposed to stand for? The truth. The problem is today a lot of people don't know what the truth is. And a lot of people are easily persuaded because they really don't believe what they say they believe. And so as believers today, we need to stand true to what you believe. And you must believe the word of God. Galatians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the Galatian church, and he says in verse 6, I am astonished that you are quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. How many know we live in a day when the gospel is being perverted? But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Church, the only way you know it's not of God is if you do not know the Word of God. And many in the church do not know the Word of God. You can only stand true if you know what the truth is. Karen's mom was a very wonderful person. She was a very caring person. She was very evangelistic. She was one of those individuals, no matter where she went, she would find somebody to minister to pray with. She was just gushy. She just loved people, and she was very sensitive to the Spirit of God. And many times you would lose her when you were with her, and you'd have to go back, find her, and you would find her talking or praying with somebody. She was just a very lovely people. But the downfall of her mom was that she was easily manipulated. She was easy prey. She was an easy target. And so you could have a discussion with her, and she would have an opinion, and then you would counter her opinion, and then she would start agreeing with you. It was one of those type of deals. She was very gullible. She was very trusting. And so you kind of had some fun with her, you know? And so as we look back, because of some of the chemical imbalances that she suffered later in life, we kind of wondered if earlier in life that she wasn't kind of already showing some of those things. But there is one thing that she never wavered on, and that was her faith in Jesus Christ. She never wavered in her love for Jesus. She just loved Jesus. So we need to stand true to what we believe. And I hope you're that qualified here today. I hope you're that determined today. You're that knowledgeable today that when people challenge your faith, man, you can just get back in their face. You need to believe, folks. You need to stand true to what you believe and what God has done in your life. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And he's saying here, don't be gullible. He's saying, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. What? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we pick some things out in this thing. If we want to be approved of God, number one, we got to be a worker. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that one. If you want to be approved of God, you need to be a worker. And you do not be ashamed, because we know that's a theme that he writes to Timothy. Do not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you're rightly dividing the word of truth, you're studying the word of God, you know the word of God, guess what? You'll be approved of God. You won't falter, you won't faint. Luke writes in Acts 17, verse 11, he tells us the story of Paul here. He says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. How do you like that, being compared to another church? For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I hope you are people that test what you're hearing. That anything you hear from this pulpit in this church, you need to test. You need to line it up with the Word of God. And that's what set the Berean church apart from many of these other churches. We don't hear anything negative about the Berean church like we do some of the other churches. Why? Because they were examining the scriptures. They were proving to see if Paul was right or wrong. And so you need to do that, church. Not in church. But if you have a question about anything that is ever said by me or anybody in this pulpit, you have a question about, feel free to question it. You need to examine the scriptures and know it for yourself. So we are to be like the Bereans. We need to know what we believe, and we need to stand our ground. Thirdly, Paul goes on and says, be courageous. And this is where the title of my sermon message comes from here today. That be contagious can be translated, act like men, be men. The Moffat translation says, play the man, be brave, be a man up. That's what Paul's saying here. And he's not just talking to the men. He's talking to the individuals within the church. The Corinthians were acting like children. They were being very petty. They were being immature. They were very double-minded. And they were mixing heathen practices with Christianity. And so in 2 Corinthians verse 6 through 18, he says this. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. There is a condition here that if you're going to be called the sons and daughters of God Almighty, then you need to come from out from among them. You need to stop touching the unclean things. And this is where I kind of meddle a little bit. There's two things the American church does not understand, and one of them is the word sin anymore. How many know the word sin has been watered down? We can't even describe it or define it. We can come up with some kind of theological jargon about it, but the truth is, how do you personally define sin? We can't define it anymore. There is no more black and white. How many know the Bible is very black and white? And what is sin and what is not sin? If you have the Spirit of God in you, He will convict you and show you, if it's not verbatim in the Word of God, what is right and what is wrong. It is called conviction. So we have a church today that cannot define it anymore. There is no black and white. It's gray, and it's open to interpretation. Even among us here today, we talked about certain subjects. Many of us would have different opinions if we think that is a sin or we don't think that's a sin. Go back three generations, go back three decades, and what we see happening in the church, they would want... We wonder why God's not moving like He did in the past. And we say that they were very legalistic because they didn't believe in this, this, and this. They had to dress this way. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. But one thing they did have was the move of the Spirit of God. We can't fault them for that. We are here today because of movements of God. Because someone paid the price. Because somebody had standards. Somebody knew how to define sin. And church, we need to learn to define sin. If you don't know what sin is, ask a sinner. They will tell you what a Christian should look like. What a Christian should be saying and how they should be living. And if we're doing the same thing as they are, our witness has no power. I don't care what you say or how full of the Holy Spirit you are. When you're doing the same thing they are, and they can't tell the difference, they will let you know. Come out and be separate. The second thing the American church does not understand is persecution. I've never experienced persecution. I've had people say smart remarks or cuss at you or whatever. But we do not understand what it's like to be persecuted in the United States. We have refined it for our culture. Oh, so-and-so said something about me. They call me an idiot. If that's all the further it goes, hallelujah. Claim it. Name it and claim it. I'm an idiot. All right, hallelujah. But the truth is, persecution comes when people live the gospel out. And if we're serious as a church, as individuals, to live out the gospel, guess what? We're going to run into quite a few people that may not like what we represent. The problem is they don't resent us because they don't know what we stand for. Because we're really not witnessing. We've had a number of missionaries going to places where persecution is prevalent, where people turning to Christ are losing their jobs. They're being excommunicated from their homes, from their families, from their communities. They're being jailed. How many know there are people, even in China today, that are believers that are in camps? People are being abused. People are being killed. We don't understand what persecution is. We may someday, but at this moment, we do not understand it. Maybe it's time, and I'm not praying for persecution. I don't want persecution. But maybe it's time to be courageous. Maybe it's time to be a man. Maybe it's time to man up a little bit and put on our big boy pants and live this thing out. Because if we do, you may find some people very open to what you have to say, but you will also find individuals that will stand against you. It's very quiet in here. So, be courageous. The next point, he says, be strong. Ephesians 6:10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I like that. It says be strong, and as Pentecostals, we like that word, be strong, be strong, be strong. But what's it say? In. In the Lord, in his mighty power. You see, the Corinthians embraced moral weakness and unsteadiness. And today, we're talking about an inner strength. We're not talking about an outer strength, because we know that outer strength, Chris, weightlifter, strongman, is limited. We know that, right? It's like the two boys that got in a debate, and you know how that goes. It turns into what your dad can do and what your dad can't do. And so these two little boys were arguing, and says, my dad can beat up your dad. And the other boy said, so what? So can my mom. So, Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. It comes from him. 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is good, but training for godliness or spirituality is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So as Christians, sometimes we have the wrong heroes. Some of us like sports. Some of us watch, I only watch one sport and only watch one team. Sorry, I'm a Steelers fan. And so, but some of you might be sports fans. And what's sad about sports fans and entertainment individuals, people that are successful in business and in politics, what we find out is that a lot of times we only see one side of them. And then when we find out the other side of them, their private life, it's kind of disgusting. We look at their lives and we see what they do on the field. We see what they do in the movies. We see them on stage singing, and we think they're wonderful. But when you get to know their lifestyle and you see what they're doing, it's kind of heartbreaking. It's kind of disappointing. There are people, I have some, just like you probably have some actors and stuff that you really like to enjoy. But there are some people I won't watch out when I find out about their life. It's just, I'm not going to support that kind of a lifestyle. But you know, it also goes, and we have our heroes in Christianity. There may be preachers and teachers and prophets, evangelists, whatever you want to call them out there that we kind of get our eyes on. And sometimes they can lead us astray as well. Sometimes the emphasis is on doing rather than being. How many want revival, right? We want to experience revival. But how do we get revival? See, that's where we fall into a ditch, because it's like, how do we experience revival? Should we pray more? Should we fast? Should we study God's word? Should we have more faith? To me, that sounds a little bit like works. I know I'm walking on dangerous ground here. Just finish what I'm saying here today. The emphasis should rather be on being. That's where our heart needs to be. Because being leads to doing. Because if we're going to do it without being, it's going to be a shipwreck. It's going to be messy. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with praying for it, fasting for it, believing for it, standing on God's promises. Do that. But be more concerned about the being. Jesus told his disciples, stay in Jerusalem until what? Until you receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't want them going out there messing it up. And if we're going to do it on our own and try to manufacture it, we're going to mess it up. We need to have him in the midst of this. We need to connect with him. Being leads to doing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, what are we supposed to guard? Our hearts. For everything you do flows from it. So just looking at this scripture, you see what comes first? Being. Your heart. You. And when that's right, what? The doing comes about. The right doing. For everything you do flows from it. If your heart's not right, guess what? What you're doing may cause more damage. But if your heart is right, whew, hallelujah. Lord, get our hearts right. I want revival. I'm praying for revival. But man, make me right. Let it start here. Revival is not coming from the outside. Revival comes from the inside. So we can run around the world chasing it. But folks, it's right here all the time. Save your money. Save your time. Start here. Work on this. Above all else, you know, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Number five, and everything you must do must be done with love. So as I read the commentary that said it's a bad translation, the word with. It should read in. A better translation of this word with is in. And there's a big difference. Doing something with or out of love is different than doing something because you are in love. Think about it. Let me just say, I don't treat my mother the same way I treat my wife. Think about what I'm saying. There are far more things I would do for my wife than I would for my mother. You're looking blanked at me here. Let me repeat this. If you have, I don't even know where I'm at. Where am I at? Let me say that I don't treat my mom like I treat my wife. There are far more things I would do for my wife than for my mother. Why? Because I'm at a different level with my wife than my mother. I am in love with my wife. 1 Corinthians 13 is hard to live out unless you are in love with Jesus. You cannot live out 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You cannot. It's impossible. Love is a fruit and natural outflow of a relationship with God. The first attribute in the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And you begin to list all the other attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Guess what? Everything is based on the first part, love. You cannot be faithful. You cannot be gentle. You cannot be patient. You cannot be kind. What? Unless you have love. If you have love down first, the rest of the fruit falls in line. I can't love my neighbor as myself if I don't love God first. If I'm not in love with God, then it's going to be hard for me to love other people. Because we know what the scripture says, what we love. King James says we love others, but that's not a true translation. The true thing, we love, we have the ability to love because he first loved us. And we are in a love relationship with him. So everything you do, the scripture says, must be done in love. We must be in love with Jesus. So, we are called to man up, to be a man. That's what the scripture is saying. It's time to jack it up a notch. So what do we talk about? Be on guard. Let's not give place to the enemy. We need to stand true to what you believe. And I hope you have a belief system based on the Word of God. If you don't, and you are easily persuaded this way, that way, or whatever way, then you need to get in the Word of God and know for yourself what you believe. Question things. It's not a sin to question. It's not a sin to question what you hear. It's not even a sin to question what's in the Word of God. It's what it's there for us to study it out, to figure it out, to be led by the Spirit. We need to be courageous. We need to be men. We need to be women of God. We need to be strong. And in everything, everything must be done in love. So, that's my sermon. So the question is today, are we going to man up to it? What's funny, I was watching the news the other day, and how many know there's political stuff going on between Florida and California governors? And this word came up, that the guy in California needs to man up and throw his hat in the presidential ring instead of talking from the sidelines. Maybe that's a good illustration for us here today. Maybe it's time for us to throw our hat in the ring and man up and get involved. The Corinthian church wasn't. It was a mess. Good things were happening, but there were some very awful things that were happening. And folks, people are watching your life, whether you know it or not, or whether you care or not. Do not get to the place where you don't care what people think about what you do. Because you better. If you shipwreck their faith, God has some millstones ready to tie around your neck. Now what the scripture says? If you cause one of these individuals to stumble, it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck. Another positive sermon by Tim. Hallelujah. Amen. But we're preaching the truth. We're preaching the truth. All right? So it's time to man up. Father, we come to you today and we close this service out with just this thought here today, Father, that, Lord, all of us are a work in progress. We have our failures. We have our successes, Lord. But, Lord, you don't measure that. You measure our faithfulness. And so today, Father, as we've gone through this and we read the words of Paul writing to the Corinthian church, Father, you care about the purity of your church. You care about the individuals that make up your church. You're not just worried about your organization or your reputation, but you care for people. And Father, you want us to be in a certain position with you so that you can use us. Lord, we pray here today. I pray a blessing over this crowd here. I pray that you will work in their hearts, that you will challenge them to be on guard, that they will stay true, Lord, to your standards, to your way, to your word. Lord, that they'll have a courage that will rise up within them, Lord, that they didn't even know that they had, Father God, that the world's going one way, Lord, and you've called us to go another way. Lord, you called us to be strong, not in ourselves, but in you, in your power, Lord. And so, Lord, we're asking, God, that we can tap into that power today. And, Lord, give us that love, Lord. Help us to fall in love with you afresh here this morning. God, not just to do things out of love, because that's what we're supposed to do, but we do it because we're in love with you, that we want to please you. We want to honor you. We want to give back to what you've given us. Father, you're a great God. And we just sang some wonderful songs today. Worship team blessed us today with taking us into your presence. But Father, I just pray that you'll just take this moment. In church, you will take this moment to make an altar where you're at here today and just recommit yourself to these scriptures here today. Can you put those scriptures back up? That 1 Corinthians 16. Let that be your prayer today. Let it be your prayer. Lord, I'm just going to let you say your own words here today. But look at it. Maybe you're doing well in some areas, but in others you may not be. But let's make a commitment to that. Let it be our prayer here this morning. Let's just take a few moments here. Make an altar where you're at.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father, we close this service out today by just saying, Lord, we do love you. And we're praying, God, that we will press in and, Lord, grow in that love relationship with you. Because out of it, Lord, will come all the issues of life. Out of it, Lord, will come all the important things, Lord, that we're going to face in this life. And so, Lord, we just commit this body of believers to you. I pray that, Lord, you will give us some awesome opportunity this week to be a blessing, Lord, to stand up against that which is wrong, to stand up against what is evil, Lord, and be bold, to be courageous, Lord. And we're asking in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.